All right, so today we're gonna dive into something that's pretty fundamental. You know, when you think about it, it's like, how is wealth actually spread around the world? We got some really interesting stuff from you guys, things like the Global Wealth Report and the World Inequality Report. And what we're trying to figure out is, really who's got what. It's more than just like rich and poor. It's about like the actual numbers, the distribution and what it means for everyone, like for me, for you, for everyone listening.
Yeah, I think you've put together a fantastic set of sources here. And I think our goal should be to really like dig into those numbers. We're talking about specific levels of net worth, right? And how concentrated or dispersed that wealth is across the globe. So we can start to see like a clearer picture of what the economic landscape actually looks like. Maybe a good place to start is like the foundation of this pyramid, the people with perhaps more limited resources.
Let's do it. Let's start with the folks who have less than $10,000 in net worth. Now, when you look at the global adult population in 2022, this is a pretty big chunk of people, right?
It is.
We're talking about like 2.8 billion people.
Wow.
That's over half of the adults in the world, like 52.5%.
Yeah, what's striking to me is how that number, like the sheer scale of that number, compares to the amount of wealth they hold collectively as a group. It's only 1.2% of the total global wealth. So you're talking about over half the world's adults controlling just a sliver, over 1% of all the riches out there.
Yeah, it really makes you think about things differently, and when you think about a low net worth, what that means practically, it's like you're living on the edge financially, right? You're way more vulnerable to like any economic shock or downturn, and trying to climb out of that situation, it's got to feel almost impossible.
Absolutely.
It makes you think about things like getting an education or starting a business. Like, how do you even begin when you're barely hanging on?
That's such a crucial point, and I think it's really important to connect this to the broader issue of poverty. So while income, the money you're earning, and net worth, what you own minus what you owe, are technically different things, they often go hand in hand, right? So a very low net worth often means you're dealing with a low income too. And the fact that almost 700 million people globally are living in extreme poverty on less than like $2.15 a day, that really puts a sharp focus on the daily struggles that many in this wealth bracket face.
It's pretty sobering, isn't it? But it's not all doom and gloom, is it?
No.
One of the things I found encouraging in the data was that this segment of the population has actually shrunk quite a bit since the year 2000.
Interesting.
Back then we were looking at over 80% of adults in this lowest bracket.
Dang.
And now it's down to 52.5%. So that's a pretty big shift in a relatively short amount of time.
And I think what's really fascinating here is what seems to be driving that change. The data points to economic growth, particularly in the Asia-Pacific region, as a major factor in lifting people out of that lowest wealth tier. In fact, the proportion of people in that bracket, in that region, has almost been cut in half in just over 20 years. So while their overall piece of the global wealth pie is still relatively small, it shows some real progress in upward mobility for a huge number of people.
That's great to hear. So as people move beyond that initial stage, where do they tend to land next? Let's talk about the emerging middle, the folks with a net worth between $10,000 and $100,000. What does that picture look like globally?
So in 2022, that bracket was home to about 1.8 billion adults, which is about 34.4% of the global adult population. Now, this group, compared to the bottom tier, they hold a much larger chunk of global wealth. They account for about 13.6%. So not the majority by any means, but it's definitely a big step up from that first group we talked about.
And this is where we see the rise of that global middle class that everyone's been talking about, right?
Yep,
It's
facts.
more than doubled in size in the last 2 decades or so, which is a huge change in how the global economy is structured.
It is. And a major engine for this growth is probably not surprising to you. It's China. The economic development there has been key in moving a lot of people into this emerging middle wealth category. And if you think back to that decrease in the lowest wealth bracket, it really suggests a pretty large-scale transition happening globally with folks moving into this $10,000 to $100,000 range. For a significant portion of the world's population, this represents real progress in terms of financial security.
So the picture is getting clearer as we move up the ladder. Now we have what's called the lower upper tier. These are the folks with a net worth between $100,000 and $1 million. This feels like another significant jump up in terms of financial standing.
It is.
What do the numbers tell us about this group?
So in 2022, about 642 million adults fell into this category, which is roughly 12% of the global adult population.
Okay.
Now, this group is smaller than the last one, but they hold a really substantial portion of the total global wealth, like around 39.4%.
Yeah.
And you can really start to see how the wealth is concentrated as you go up these tiers.
That's a lot of wealth concentrated in the hands of a relatively small percentage of people. And you mentioned some interesting trends happening within this bracket, particularly in the U.S. What's going on there?
So what's noteworthy is that the data shows a trend in the U.S. of pretty even wealth growth across the different wealth brackets in recent years. And there's actually been a slight decrease in wealth inequality as measured by something called the Gini coefficient since 2008.
Okay.
Now, just as a quick reminder, the Gini coefficient, it's a measure of inequality where 0 represents perfect equality and 1 represents perfect inequality.
Right.
So a slight decrease suggests a tiny move towards greater equality.
Okay.
Now, the U.S. also happens to have the highest number of millionaires globally, almost 22 million as of 2023.
Wow.
And many of them would fall towards the upper end of this $100,000 to $1 million range.
It sounds like this segment is set to keep growing globally.
That's what the projections show.
Yeah.
Yeah, the percentage of global adults in this bracket is expected to increase even more by 2027.
Mm.
So this points to a continuing trend of wealth creation and possibly a shift in economic influence as more people reach this level of financial security.
Okay. Let's move into even more exclusive territory now.
Right.
The millionaires, those with a net worth over $1 million.
Okay.
How many people are we talking about in this bracket?
So in 2022, this group had approximately 59.4 million adults in it, which is only about 1.1% of the total global adult population.
Wow.
And yet this tiny fraction of people controlled a whopping 45.8% of all global wealth.
That's a huge disparity. Less than 2% of the world's adults holding almost half of all the wealth. And this group has been growing rapidly, hasn't it?
It has. The global millionaire population more than doubled between 2012 and 2022, going from 25.6 million to that 59.4 million we just talked about.
Wow.
And the projections suggest this growth is likely to continue with a potential 86 million millionaires globally by 2027. As we mentioned, the U.S. is a major contributor to these numbers. But Western Europe and China also have very large and growing populations of millionaires.
So even within this millionaire category, there are further distinctions, right? We've got multimillionaires and the ultra high net worth individuals.
Right.
What can you tell us about those groups?
So within the millionaire group, the biggest portion, about 51.5 million people, had a net worth between $1 million and $5 million in 2022.
Okay.
Then you have a smaller segment, about 5.1 million individuals with between $5 and $10 million.
Got it.
And at the very top of the millionaire spectrum are the roughly 2.8 million adults who had wealth exceeding $10 million.
All right.
Those are also called decamillionaires at above.
And we've seen a big rise in these ultra high net worth individuals, haven't we, particularly in certain regions?
We have, yeah. The U.S. in particular has experienced a remarkable surge in the number of households with $10 million or more in financial assets just over the past decade.
And then you have the centimillionaires, right? The folks with a net worth of $100 million or more.
Right.
That's an incredibly exclusive group.
It is. As of like the middle of 2023, there were only about 28,420 of them worldwide.
Wow.
With a large concentration in the U.S., particularly places like New York City and the Bay Area, and then China coming in second.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, that number of centimillionaires has doubled since 2003.
So that brings us to the tippy top of the wealth pyramid.
It does.
The billionaires, the folks with a net worth exceeding $1 billion.
Right.
How many are there on the planet and what slice of the global wealth pie do they control?
So as of April 2024, there were about 2,781 billionaires worldwide.
Wow.
And their combined wealth is mind-blowing. It totals over $14.2 trillion.
It's hard to even fathom that amount of money.
It really is. Yeah. And just like the other high wealth segments, the number of billionaires is skyrocketed since the early 2000s. The U.S. and China are the countries with the most billionaires by far.
And there was that stark comparison from around 2012 that really highlights the scale of this wealth at the top.
Yeah.
The combined wealth of all the billionaires was basically equal to the total wealth of the bottom 60% of the global population.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a staggering level of inequality.
It is. And while the exact numbers might have shifted a bit in the years since that comparison, the main point about the massive gap in wealth distribution is still incredibly important.
It's a fundamental fact of the global economic landscape. And we've been talking a lot about net worth.
We have.
But it's also important to understand how it relates to income, right?
Absolutely.
They're not the same thing.
No, they're not. It's a crucial distinction for people to understand.
Yeah. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So income is like the flow of money you're getting regularly,
right?
Like your wages or the returns on your investments.
Okay.
Net worth, on the other hand, is a snapshot of your accumulated wealth at a particular moment in time. It's what you own. Things like property, savings, investments, minus what you owe, like loans and mortgages.
Okay.
Now, having a high income can definitely help you build up your net worth over time if you save and invest wisely.
Right.
But they're not perfectly linked.
Yeah.
For example, someone could inherit a lot of money.
Yeah.
And have a high net worth, even though their yearly income might be relatively low.
Interesting.
And on the flip side, you could have someone making a ton of money, but they might have a lot of debt or spend a lot.
Right.
Which would limit how much net worth they can actually build up.
So it's not a simple one-to-one relationship.
It's not.
Yeah.
And actually, the data shows that globally, wealth inequality is even more pronounced than income inequality.
Really?
Yeah. High-income countries tend to hold a bigger share of global wealth compared to their share of global GDP. This basically means they've accumulated more assets relative to the size of their economies.
Okay.
For most people, building wealth is a slower process than earning income.
Yeah, makes sense.
And the thing is, wealth can generate more wealth through investments.
Right.
Which unfortunately can make wealth inequality worse over time.
So it's a bit of a self-perpetuating cycle.
It can be. And it's also worth noting that this relationship between income and wealth isn't the same everywhere.
Okay.
Poorer regions are often even poorer in terms of wealth compared to their income levels.
Hmm.
Which suggests that building up assets is a bigger challenge in those areas.
So taking a step back and looking at all this data, what are some of the big trends in global wealth inequality that stand out?
One of the most striking things, and it's a bit concerning, is that global wealth inequality is pretty much at the same level as it was at the beginning of the 20th century.
Wow.
Despite all the economic growth and advancements we've seen over the last 100 years, this issue of wealth concentration is still a major problem.
Yeah.
And events like the COVID-19 pandemic have often made these inequalities worse.
Before?
Because economic shocks tend to hit those with fewer resources the hardest.
Right. It seems like there's a growing awareness and concern globally about this level of inequality.
Definitely. You see it in the discussions about economic policy all over the world.
Yep.
There's a growing recognition that we need policy changes and systemic reforms to tackle wealth inequality.
Right.
And in many countries, a large portion of the population feels that their economic systems need a serious overhaul to create a fairer distribution of wealth.
So it's not just academics and experts talking about this.
Not at all. It's a widespread sentiment.
Yeah. And the data clearly shows that policy choices have a big impact on how wealth is spread within a country and globally.
They do. And looking ahead, those projections of continued growth in the millionaire population suggest that without major policy shifts or some other major economic shakeup, this trend of wealth concentrating at the top is likely to keep going.
So to wrap up this deep dive, what's the main message about global wealth distribution that you want our listeners to walk away with?
I think the key takeaway is just how unequally wealth is distributed around the world.
Mm-hmm.
A huge majority of the world's adults hold a surprisingly small fraction of the total wealth, while a very small elite at the top controls a disproportionately large share.
Right. And it's not just about numbers. It has real consequences for things like economic opportunity and how well our societies function.
Exactly. And despite some positive developments for people at the very bottom of the wealth ladder in some regions,
yeah,
the overall trend seems to be this ongoing concentration of wealth at the highest levels.
So it's not a problem that's going away on its own?
No. The data is very clear on that, that the amount of wealth held by millionaires and billionaires compared to the wealth held by billions of other people is just enormous.
Yeah.
And based on what we're seeing right now, it seems like those trends are likely to continue unless there are some pretty significant changes in policy or in the overall economic landscape.
So as we all grapple with these huge disparities in wealth globally, it really raises some big questions.
It does.
What are the long-term impacts on our societies and economies if this concentration of wealth continues?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of future are we heading towards? And what does all this say about how fair and sustainable our current economic systems really are?
These are questions we all need to be asking.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely food for thought. Thanks for joining us today for this deep dive into global wealth distribution.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a fascinating conversation. And for everyone listening, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So join the conversation online and let us know what you think.